So we have these morning meetings where everybody comes in and pitches stories. And last week, our video producer, Wynn, he came into the meeting with a story he found about a girl in Australia whose blood type changed after a liver transplant. So it was sort of like, okay, this sounds really cool. Let's look into it. Which, of course, during the research for it led to a basic question where everybody sort of sheepishly looked up and said, what is a blood type, really, actually?
We're journalists, not scientists.
You have your A, your B, your O, your AB, but do you know why this blood type is assigned a certain letter?
Nope.
So as we were asking our friendly hermatologist all about this, we stumbled onto another story entirely. So Wynn, the lady who changed blood types, not so big news apparently, but a blood type as a malaria reducer and as the result of malaria. That's a little bit bigger. But we do want to start with the basics. Dr. Christine Cherta-Gazdowicz is a hematologist in Toronto. Oh, hi, good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
So can you give us a brief blood lesson? Blood types, I know, discovered a little over 100 years ago, but how is blood type determined?
So blood type is a fascinating thing. It's actually not just a human thing. The ABO system arose about 5 million years ago. And most anciently, humans or pre-humans, humanoids, began as group A's. A is the most ancient so-called wild type. That's what we call genes, the way they start before they begin to mutate and turn into things that exhibit selective survival advantages. So about 5 million years ago, this mutation pops up called group O, and around that time and subsequently group B developed. Group O is actually a non-expression mutation. So A, B, and O relate to what kinds of sugars you decorate your cells and secrete into your plasma and other secretions. Your A sugar is something with a messy name called GalNAc or N-acetylgalactosamine. B is galactose, and it turns out that group O is actually a non-sugar or a sugar-free status cell.
It's not dusted or lightly coated in anything.
No.
It's the Splenda of
Yeah,
bloods.
it's a bit intriguing, too, that since 1997, about four books have been published on eating right for your type. The blood group system has been in vogue. Many people have had theories for centuries, or at least since Landsteiner discovered the ABO blood group system in 1900, as to why ABO variations exist and whether or not we should heed them at all. It's kind of like the dream question of Freud. And,
Well, doctor, I've watched enough ER and Grey's Anatomy to know that you can't mix blood types. Describe what happens to
Exactly.
us when you mix A with B.
So, intriguingly, the ABO blood system, which we have no idea what its original function is the one thing that everyone in medicine respects. It's the one blood system that you can't transfuse incompatibly within, and that would be at the peril of killing a patient. Even as small as 50 mils, a few bottles of nail polish worth of blood can kill a person.
My God.
Wow.
So ABO mistransfusions are a key cause of transfusion-related death. And it's something that we worry tremendously about. And that's the crux of that is basically because beyond the age of 6 months infancy and onwards, we all develop antibodies that naturally recognize the blood type that we're not. So people who are group O, lacking A or B sugars, make anti-A and anti-B. They're primed already to destroy type A or B or AB blood. People who are type B are naturally primed to destroy type A and vice versa. The only people who are not primed to destroy any kind of blood are the people who are known as group AB, the double hits for the sugar, and that's only about 4% of the population. They're the so-called universal recipients, but they're terrible blood donors as far as red cells go because they're basically, unappealing to anyone who is non-AB.
That's what I say
But
about them all the time. They take and they take and they
that's
take.
right. There are always some parasites in this world and other people who are natural martyrs and givers.
But the O gives and gives and gives.
Right.
It's
That's
the
right.
universal donor, so there's a yin and yang here. And the O type is the subject of this study. You've published this hypothesis, and you're studying to see if it's right that the O type, as a mutant, we'll say, of the A, without the sugars on the surface, it survived because of this mutation, and it's said to have an advantage in some way. Tell us about the advantage you've been studying.
Yeah, it appears there are three lines of evidence in support of this hypothesis, and we're going to be putting this to the test in Uganda. There's a clinical trial that we started back in October. And what we're interested in is whether or not the ABO blood group system indeed influences a child's chance of living or dying with malaria. The things that are really going to change the gene distributions, you know, the prevalence of certain blood types in populations, are the things that are going to make or break you or kill you before you hit the age of reproduction. And if so, if group O is indeed something that conveys a survival advantage, people who are non-O, we would expect to be rooted out and die in droves from something that we would hypothesize to be the selection pressure at stake. And for us, that hypothesis is malaria. We're not the first people to come up with this idea. About 24 papers have been published on the subject. And so far, six of them, the ones most rigorously conducted and just two published in the fall, are indicating that it looks like group O's probably have an advantage. But the thing is that not a single one of these studies have addressed the mortality question. They've looked at the sickness spectrum, you know, who gets sicker and who seems to only suffer mild disease. And that question so far is starting to settle. Preceding that, there were a lot of animal-based and laboratory-based so-called in vitro studies looking at the impact of these sugars on red cells and how malaria behaves in the test tube.
Oh, so wait, let me stop for 1 second. So because the O is sugarless, as we've been calling it, therefore it is impervious to malaria?
So that's a great question. It's actually not a matter of permeability or invadability. What this appears to be a matter of is how malaria changes your red cells when it infects you. Malaria has this incredible ability to give you something far worse than acne. Malaria makes red cells erupt with these knobs, these so-called sticky knobs. The red cells actually look rumpled and pimply if you take a gander at them through the microscope. And these pimpled out, knob-riddled red cells acquire this ability to stick to blood vessels. Malaria appears to have evolved in this very clever fashion so that it evades immune clearance in the spleen. The spleen is like a giant lymph node, an immune clearance organ in the body. And a lot of the most ancient parasitemias, the parasitic diseases that have infected humans, had their first point of clearance in the spleen. And so if a parasite can invade a cell and use a host's own living cells, their own living tanks as
their own blood as a way to deliver it.
Exactly.
That's the issue.
They're sort of like camouflage tanks, and they actually stick and sequester away in the vasculature everywhere.
Doctor,
clean.
It's interesting, but we've run out of time. Dr. Charity Guzdewich, thank you so much for explaining it all to us here on the Bryant Park Project.
Thank you very much.